Okay. Again, we're talking about well-known passages of the Bible. Is that too loud? Okay. You know, we've talked about that wee little man, Zacchaeus. You know, we talked about the 10 lepers and only 9 came back, you know, and thank Jesus. I'm going to read one passage, but it's not our passage for the day. This is from the book of Matthew. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Calling to him a child, he put the child in the midst of them and said, "Truly I tell you, unless you turn to become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest. Whoever receives such a child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and be drowned in the depth of the sea." Now, a passage today is from the book of Matthew, chapter 19. Then children were brought to him that he might lay his hands on them and pray. The disciples rebuked the people, but Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." And he laid his hands on them. The word of God for the people of God. Now you may be seated. We're talking about well-known passages in the Bible. You know, and this one, you know, and it says, "And children were brought to him." Okay, what do you notice about that? You know, that it wasn't, you know, maybe not. It wasn't all the parents that was bringing kids to Jesus. You know, it was just people, you know, maybe not their parents, you know, that were bringing kids to Jesus. You know, and I want to say this, you know, and I don't like saying it, but it's true, okay? Not every parent is interested in the spiritual well-being of their child. You know, some people, you know, some parents and people in general, just followers of Christ, we get satisfied by where we are in our relationship with God, with Jesus. Nobody should ever, ever be satisfied with your relationship with Jesus. We should be growing every day. You know, but some people, you know, they're just not concerned about their kids. You know, they're not concerned about themselves, you know, so they're not concerned about their kids. You know, I've had parents tell me, you know, "Well, I want to wait till they get old enough to make the decision for themselves. You know, let them decide if they want to go to church or not." You know, but also, kind of flip side, I've had parents, not here, okay, not here, maybe. But I've had parents bring kids to Sunday school, drop them off, bring kids to Wednesday night, drop them off, bring kids to Vacation Bible School, drop them off, and why? Not as a concern for their spiritual well-being. They want the church to what? Babysit them. "Hey, mom and dad want time alone. We want time off." Yeah. One of my daughters called us this past week. "You know, hey, you know, y'all keep the 2-year-old Friday night?" "No." "What? No. We've already had that brat 3 nights." I didn't say brat. You know, she said, "Yeah, yeah, okay, I know. Y'all need a break." You know, I said, "Well, you know, you need a break too?" I said, "Well, you know, we want a date night." I said, "Well, take the kids on your date with you. You know, they're your kids. You know, if we have the location finder, later, you know, her in-laws live in Bastrop. You know, later that Friday, you know, guess where I saw her? On the way to Bastrop." But only the little one went. The older one didn't want to go, so they didn't make it. You know, so I haven't talked to her. But, you know, this afternoon, about 4 o'clock, we're going to be on our way to Monroe to pick up the 2-year-old. But, you know, it's having kids around you, Yeah. You know, it does something. It helped you. One, you get exercise, chasing the little brats. Yeah, dealing with them, cleaning up behind them. But not every parent is concerned about the spiritual well-being, of their kids. Like I said, they drop them off, and they say, hey, I want to let them make the choice for themselves. There's a story, a man told a preacher that, hey, I want my kids to make that choice. Preacher invites, had a good garden, so he invites the man over to his house one day. Hey, come see my garden. Go out and look at the garden. And I mean, there's just weeds everywhere. You can't tell what's growing. And the man looks at the preacher and says, this is pitiful. Look at that garden. Why don't you do anything? Preacher looks at him and says, I just want to let them plants grow till they know what they want to do. Let them decide for themselves. So these kids were brought to Jesus. At that day and time, that was a natural, natural thing to do because, people would bring their kids to a prophet, the priest, kind of like a baby dedication. The prophet or priest would put their hands on them, and bless the kids. Okay, now back up just a little bit. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. Why? Be crucified. All these stories, every one of these stories so far, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem to be nailed to a cross, tortured and nailed to a cross. And he takes the time out for the 10 lepers. He takes the time out for wee little man Zacchaeus. He takes the time out for these kids. And the scripture, the passage tells us, people are bringing the kids, and not all the parents. And the disciples are saying, whoa, no, hey, get back. And what are they teaching the kids? You're not important. At this point in time, everybody knows Jesus. He's been at this for 3 years. Touching people, healing people. He doesn't even touch. People come to him. My daughter's dying. Okay, go. And she's made well. He brings her back to life. People know about him. He's feeding thousands of people. So everybody knows they want Jesus to bless their kids. And here, the disciples are saying, no, you can't do that. Why? Because sometimes people look at kids. Hey, they're kids. What do they contribute? They don't sing in the choir. They don't clean the church. They don't put money in the plate. Hey, did you see Hayes? He took a dollar out of his wallet. I'm going to tell his mom about that. And put in that cup. And that is something. But, people, not nobody here, but people look at kids, and say, it's not worth my time to invest in them. Statistics show 83% of the people that come to be a follower of Christ do so in their teenage years or before. Now, they may walk away at one time, but they come back. Only 17% of the people that are followers of Christ do so in adulthood. But most, 83%, that journey starts somewhere as a child. Because somebody somewhere along the way took the time out to invest in that child. I mean, what do we invest in? Our house, our cars, our truck, our play toys. But what can you take with you to heaven? Nothing. Nothing. Everything you invest in, you leave here and you go to heaven. What should we be investing in? The kingdom of God. And what is the one investment? Kids. Kids of all ages. Now, I asked her if I could say this, and she gave me permission. I don't know, probably just a few of you know about Charlie. You and the brother or sister not in here. Know about Charlie, the little girl, I think she's two now, that Casey and Addison have taken over custody. And I talked to Casey this morning. When Charlie first started coming on Wednesday nights, I mean, you barely get a word out of her. It was, you know, nothing. You know, and I know part of it is just that she's grown. But Friday morning in the prayer breakfast, yeah, McDonald's is closed. Casey usually picks up food at McDonald's and brings them. McDonald's is closed. So guess what the kids got Friday morning? Donuts. Said, yeah, fill them kids up with sugar and send them off to school. You know, but Charlie's sitting there, and Casey's like three or four seats down from her. And Charlie wanted some, I don't know what. She starts just hollering, mama, mama, mama. You know, and I just listen at that. But if you had known Charlie from when she first started to where she is now, and I told Casey, the change. It's like she was a little child that was scared of the world. And now she is a little girl that knows somebody, the world, this church. And the church has played a big part of it, that she is loved and cared for. They have made an investment in that child. You have made, whether you know it or not, an investment in that child. All those kids that would come up here this morning. You know, some of their parents are here, some of them not. We are investing in those kids. An investment that will last forever. You know, and the disciples, they're saying, you know, who's the most important? You know, which one's the most important? And Jesus takes a kid, puts among them, and he says, you have to be like this kid. Be a servant. You know, better for you to tie a millstone around your neck and be thrown into the ocean than cause one of these to stumble to sin. He said, if you receive one of these, you receive me. So what's the flip side? If you don't receive kids, you're not receiving Jesus Christ. But what's Jesus telling us also? You have to be like this. One, even Charlie, and I know my grandsons, my grandkids, one, they are not obedient. You know, they can be, well, I won't say, but they can be mischievous. I'll put it nice. You know, they're not obedient. They don't listen. You know, and all these other things. Jesus isn't saying you have to be like that, but he wants us to be. But what is we have to be like? Trust. Charlie, trust that family. She's grown to know and trust. Your kids, Taz, trust you two. I hope he does. Put a roof over his head, feed him, clothe him. You know, and that's what kids do. They trust in those around them to provide for them. Jesus looked at those kids. Nothing those kids had done. But he still favored those kids. And Jesus is telling us, there's nothing you can do to buy his love, his grace, and his mercy, his forgiveness. You just have to trust and believe in what he has done on the cross. Trust and believe that he loves you. Trust and believe in him. It doesn't help if you're a little bit obedient. And believe and invest in kids. A lifetime commitment for the church and for those kids and for us, for you. Amen. Let us pray. Father, Lord God, we just give you thanks again for this day. Lord God, every day of our lives, may us, each and every one of us, Father, Lord Jesus, trust and believe in you for all that we have, all that we are, but especially for our salvation and eternal life. In your Son's holy and life-giving name, amen.